Jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome to this edition of the Hagman and the Hagman Report. I'm Doug Hagman at the helm with my son, Joe Hagman. Together we are the Hagman and the Hagman Report. Folks, we broadcast live every week.
Funeral?
What's that?
What is this, your funeral?
do I sound a little bit down today?
No, you just sound very monotone.
I'm actually narrating golf.
Welcome, ladies.
No, wait a second. And he's on the green. Watch, he's 10 foot from the hole. What else do they say? No, anyway. I don't want to give people the wrong impression. We are professional, right?
It's supposed to be.
No. All right, I'm Doug Hagman at the helm of film investigator, researcher, and most importantly, my son Joe Hagman. Together we are the Hagman and Hagman Report. That's right, you heard us right. And we broadcast live every weeknight, Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, on right here on the Global Star Radio Network. That's right. Actually, what kind of threw me off is we're having a little bit of technical issue, or having a technical issue. And
Global Star had a...
Eric was giving me hand signals, and I'm not sure that's a logistic... I'm not sure that's really a real hand signal. Yeah, that one. Okay. I'm not sure. I got to look at this up in the book to see if that's you know... Is that I've seen that before, and not by our producer, but anyway.
I learned it from my grandma.
Okay. Learned it from me. No, folks, I gotta tell you, no.
Definitely Friday.
It is, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We had a long day today, too. We were on the Josh Tully show earlier today.
Yes, we were.
And folks, if you want to listen to that, go check out Josh Tully's archives, joshtully.com, and you can find it, through his GCN page. As well, and was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. It was. I'm glad you had us on. It was a lot of fun. My goodness. Now what do we do? You know what? Okay. See, I'm off script. Okay. I suppose I should say this, and see, they monitor this for context. Okay, so. Let's see, just say something like, folks, don't forget we have two different websites, one for the show, which is Hagman and Hagman.com, and one for news information, which is HagmanReport.com. Portions of the nice broadcast brought to you, of course, by Whole Tones Live. See how I did that? Snuck that right in there. WholeTonesLive.com in a silly mood tonight. WholeTonesLive.com, folks, you know, in today's world we're just all so busy and stressed out. Go to WholeTonesLive.com. Download a sample of their music. It's relaxing. It's a fantastic website. It where you can download music to that. And we know that frequency affects you frequency affects your everything, really. At WholeTonesLive.com, they've got music to affect any type of mood, whether it's your stressful mood or whether it's to quiet a racing mind or whatever. Music does have the power to heal, of course, and it's been used through the centuries, ages, actually, to treat depression, greed, energy, and stuff. So go to WholeTonesLive.com. That's WholeTonesLive.com, and check it out. That's WholeTonesLive.com. And definitely check it out. You see how I snuck that in there? And now the context is right. Okay. People don't know what I'm talking about. There's a read that you have to develop a certain cadence, kind of like golf, like, okay, he's on the seventh green. Okay, this is, I'm just being silly now. But you know, we do dig deep into topics that the mass media doesn't. And tonight is no exception. Joe, we got a fantastic show for you, or for us. What did I just say? Handle this. I'm going to go get a purple stick, okay? Go ahead.
You do that.
All right.
Now, we have a great broadcast lined up for you tonight. We have Dr. Ted Brewer with us. His website, healthmasters.com. And visit this site, as well as he's a broadcaster right here on Global Star Radio Network with him and his son. from 3 to 4 p.m. each weekday, as well as Sundays from 7 to 8 p.m. right before Dave Hodges. And again, his website is healthmasters.com. His latest book is Breakthrough Health. And he's been a friend and frequent guest on the show for a number of years now. And it's an honor and pleasure to have him on. We're going to talk about geopolitical news, from the election to, you know, the economy and other health, alternative health and, information we need to know, on this 5-year anniversary of the Fukushima, plants being, you know, blown up.
311. 311, huh?
Yeah. With that, let's bring on Dr. Ted Broer. Ted, it's great to have you back on the show. I know you got a lot of stuff to cover tonight, and we're looking forward to hearing what you have to say.
Oh, hey, Joe. Hey, Doug. It's good to be back with you guys tonight. Thanks for having me on. It's always a pleasure to do your show. I love it. I mean, it's a great opportunity for me to promote your show, my show, Global Star, and to cover a whole bunch of health-related topics and election-related topics tonight and all kinds of government-related topics tonight. So there's a whole bunch of stuff we're going to tell you. Now, I'm going to tell you about a ketchup that's sold in stores that you never want to put into your body, you never want to use, and it's unbelievably toxic. So you guys have got to stay tuned to find out what ketchup never to buy. So we've got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight.
Oh, yeah. Man, don't mess with my ketchup, Ted. Seriously. Okay, now, wait. Let me ask this. Does the first letter start with H?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm in trouble now. I know
I have more than one ketchup with an H that's popular.
No, I do know that.
Okay.
Because I don't know if Ted wanted to say anything, but, you know, so I can't, like, on my pork-laden hot dog, I shouldn't put ketchup on this, right? particular kind.
I've got good and bad news for you, Doug. It's probably going to taste really good. That's the good news. The bad news, you probably won't be able to do it too long because of all the side effects associated with it. So we can talk about that tonight.
What side effects, Ted?
Fork or the ketchup?
Anything. I don't know. I've got to develop the twitch. No, I'm just, you know what?
Well,
let me tell you a little thing.
This is interesting. Years ago, I was doing a seminar, I think it was up in the Midwest somewhere, I don't remember anymore. We had like 18, 20,000 people there. I remember it was huge, and I remember we had to go into the back rooms for all the tape tables, and they were scattered all over the place with the tapes and the CDs. And I'll never forget, some lady walked up to me and told me she's going to eat what she wants to eat. She didn't care if it killed her or not, and she wasn't going to listen to me. And my response to her was simply this: go ahead. She goes, what do you mean go ahead? I said, go and eat what you want to eat. And she goes, why are you saying that? Don't you care about me? And I said, actually, I don't care about you. I said, I don't know you. I've never met you, and you're sitting here screaming and yelling at me in front of 40 people at the tape table, so why should I even be concerned about you? Because you're telling me you're going to eat what you want to eat, whether I tell you what to, no matter what I tell you. And so so it doesn't matter. And, you know, some of the research, and she was arguing about diet sodas, but I've talked about that so much with you guys. We'll talk about that in a few more minutes. We have so many articles to cover. But what I told her, and I told the staff, and I told everybody this, is when children eat 3 hot dogs a week, now I'm talking about the pork hot dogs, the junk hot dogs, the ones you buy, you know, for 99 cents for a pack of 50, right? These are the ones you don't want to eat because they contain so much sodium nitrite and so many byproducts and so many chemicals. Just 3 hot dogs a week, Doug and Joe, increase the risks of cancer, leukemia, by 9 times. 9 times in these children. And remember, the leading cause of death in children age 14 and under, other than accidents, is cancer, and the leading type of cancer in these children is leukemia. Now, you're saying, well, your kids should never eat hot dogs? No, they can have hot dogs, just not the bad hot dogs. They can have the turkey dogs or the beef dogs that are all beef or all turkey with no sodium nitrite, that are organic with no chemicals. Then it's no big deal. But you got to stay away from all these poison hot dogs. I remember years ago I was doing a show up in Chicago on the number one station in Chicago. I'll never forget this. I don't think I've ever told you this story. And the producer, the farm forecaster, was named Max. And I was doing this show. The reason I always remember this show, I had flown to Chicago to do this show. I think it was WGN. It's like the number one show in Chicago. And I had flown up there. And the day that I was supposed to be on the air for drive time, it was O.J. Simpson was running away from the police out in California. It was all over the news. I couldn't believe it. So I always remember that day. And I'll never forget, I was doing this show. We were on 15, 20 minutes going over the top 10 foods never to eat. And I was talking about pork, how bad pork was. Well, I didn't know that Chicago was the number one pork belly thing in the whole world. Right? I didn't know that. I didn't know all the farm stuff and the Farm Bureau stuff came out of Chicago. I was kind of just, you know, naive and young. This is, gosh, was that almost 20 years ago now? And I'll never forget. All of a sudden, somebody's tapping on the window. at the studio, and all the doors are locked in these big studios because they don't want somebody breaking in and demanding airtime and, you know, threatening people with bomb scares or whatever. And so I looked at the guy who was doing the show with me, the DJ, and he recognized the guy. It was Max, the farm forecaster. And I'm sure if somebody calls Max up, he'll tell you this happened. I'm sure he remembers it too. And I'll never forget, they buzzed him in, they let him in, and he grabbed the live microphone at the desk. I was much younger then, and I was in really good shape back then. I had like 18 and a half inch arms and a 50 inch chest and a 33 inch waist. I mean, I was in my 40s, early 40s. And I'll never forget, he grabbed the live microphone. He started screaming at me because I said, don't eat pork. And I looked at him and I said, you know, I didn't know what to do. I mean, I've never had this happen but one time on a live broadcast on the number one station in Chicago, right? And I looked at him. He started yelling at me and was standing up over me in the studio. So I was sitting down. It was like a low table, and I was like a dining room height. And so I grabbed my microphone, which is a free mic, and I stood up. And he's yelling at me. I'm yelling at him. And I yelled at him, and I said, well, I said, here's the deal. I said, if you want to feed your kids hot dogs and feed them pork, you're just going to remember something. 3 hot dogs a week, 9 times the risk of leukemia. So if you want to poison these children with brain cancer, knock yourself out, but I'm not going to agree with you. So my response is still the same. No, no pork. And I remember then, believe it or not, security and everybody came running in the studio. They thought we were literally going to get into a physical fist fight. And I just, because I wasn't backing off. I mean, I'm literally yelling at the guy. He's yelling at me. It was like kind of like the Republican debates. Okay,
there's nothing wrong with getting in a fist fight over hot dogs. Okay, that's my motto.
But listen to this. So anyhow, I get escorted out of the studio. The show's over, right? And so I'm like, well, whatever. So I leave. And by that time, cell phone technology had just started up, right? And I remember I was walking down the street there in Chicago, and I was going to my next show with Danny Bonaducci. From the Partridge Family. He had a big station that he was on there in Chicago too. So I had 2 shows scheduled that morning. And I was walking down the show and my cell phone rings. And I'm thinking, you know, cause we have an 800 service taking orders for the books and the tapes and the CDs and all that. And I thought, well, that show's not going to sell anything. I mean, this was awful. There was a big screaming fist fight. And so the phone rings and it's my PR firm. The guys who are taking the phone calls and they say, what the heck just happened on that show? And I said, guys, look. You know, I don't know, man. It just went bad. And they said, no, our phones are ringing off the hook. I mean, we've never seen a response. Everybody wants your stuff. And I said, they want my stuff? He goes, yeah. He said, this is ridiculous. They said that you almost got in a fight in the studio. Is that true? And I'm like, yeah, that's true. I said, if the guy had come over the countertop, I'd have knocked him out. And the guy goes, really? I said, yeah. He goes, well, whatever they said was this, because, you know, Chicago is kind of like New York. They said, if this Brewer guy was so adamant about what he believed that he was willing to get into a fight, we want his material, we want his CDs, we want his tapes, we want his books. And we literally blew up. Over 100 reps were taking orders. It was the craziest thing you've ever heard of, Doug. So, yes, I do believe in what we're talking about. If I figure since we're doing this really low-key thing tonight, I'd start off with a story from 20 years ago when the O.J. Simpson thing was happening.
Well, I want to know which side Danny Bonaducci was on. Tell me.
For the O.J. Simpson stuff? Oh, I don't know.
No. I mean, for the pork stuff. Never mind.
Danny was on my side. I did Danny shows. I did a bunch of his shows. I've done a bunch of really big shows. I was on with Scott Shannon in New York City. Yep. I was on with Man Cow. I still do Man Cow show all the time. I was on with Rick Dees out of California, who's the number one guy on Kiss FM. I've done all of these shows live in studio. I mean, I've done thousands and thousands of talk shows. We used to do the big tours when I'd be on the seminar circuit. This is when all this was going on. And we'd have an RV. I'd step into a show.
Given the genre, okay, of those shows, and I wanted to ask you this off air, but I'll ask you this on air. What's the general population's acceptance to your information? You know, especially, because I would think that, well, sorry, I mean, the demographics to me, like on a Danny Bonaducci kind of platform would scream to me like pot smoking, and maybe I'm just being totally off the.
Well, what I always try to do, I always try to do 40 plus, because when you start talking to guys, and we're going to talk about it tonight, about impotency in guys and how blood pressure medicine causes impotency, all of this stuff, we're going to talk about this tonight, what you can do about it. We're going to talk about lowered sperm counts in men, fertility problems in men. When you deal with a 40 plus demographic, when guys are starting to have health problems, and they're starting to have blood pressure medicines, and the blood pressure medicine causing them to be impotent, and they're sometimes early 30s, early 40s. That's the demographic that really listens. When a person's 15, 16, 18, 20 years old and they're part of the Partners Family Group from 20, 30, 40 years ago and they're tweens, they don't care. They don't care. They just get confused. They don't understand any of that stuff. But 40 plus is the biggest demographic that we ever had as far as listening to what I had to say. And we have a huge sales on our CDs and tapes and we do the big seminars because it was like businessmen who were in the 30s and 40s. And I would start off the seminar. I'd walk out of the platform and I'd say, you know, they'd introduce me and I'd say, I'm excited to be here today. It's good to be in Seattle. I just want to ask you guys a question. How many of you guys want to lower blood pressure, cholesterol, triglycerides, blood sugar levels, feel great, burn body fat, and have tremendous energy every day of your life? Let me see your hands. And then, you know, like everybody raised their hands. And then I would ask another question. I'd say, well, I've got something good and bad to tell you today. We're going to cover the top 10 foods never to eat. And then you'd hear like, boo, you know, we don't want to hear this. And then I would say, and beef and eggs and butter are not on the list. And everybody started yelling and being happy and all this kind of stuff. But I did a lot of those big shows. I mean, we had stadiums full. I mean, we literally had football stadiums that we would fill up. I mean, it was the craziest thing you've ever seen. I remember we were in the Thunderdome back in, this is the St. Pete thing where the Rays play now in Tampa over in St. Pete. And I remember we had that place packed out. I think we had 38,000 people there and they wedged me in that seminar between like Schwarzkopf and President Bush. And so it was just a real rush to be able to do that. And I did that for 6 years at about 100 of those seminars, along with thousands and thousands of talk shows. Sometimes I do 40 talk shows a week. And then I got so burnt out of being on the road all the time, because I was in my 40s at this point, that I decided just to go ahead and stop while we could still have more children. And then Sharon and I had three more kids. And that's why our kids are spread out so much. Austin's 28 and the youngest one's 13 because we decided to have these other three children when we were older. And then Sharon ran into all kinds of fertility problems that were causing some of those things too. That's why when we talk about this fertility stuff, it's very important to me because of what Sharon had to go through and all the stuff that we had to do, including in vitro fertilization to have the rest of the kids. So it's a pretty interesting story that I have as far as understanding all of that stuff, and that's why I know so much about the field of infertility, Doug. But that's kind of the background on me. And then I started writing books in 99 and along with other CD sets, and then I basically went into a semi-retirement mode having babies. And then in the early 2000s, some of the major TV ministries called me up and they wanted me to help them do some fundraising. And you see them do that all the time on TV. Yep. And I would come in and I would do that. And I did that for about 5 years, and then the economy dumped out in 2007, 2008. And then we were kind of like in a mode again of just chilling out, you know, with Health Masters was still running and still doing well. And then suddenly I decided that, you know, then I wanted to start moving things again for Austin. And then we couldn't get things moving. And that's when I started praying, like I had done so many throughout my whole life so much. And then that's when God spoke to me in that prayer. It'll be 5 years ago this summer. And that got me out of semi-retirement mode. Because remember, I'm 60 years old. I'm not some kid. And that got me out of the semi-retirement mode that I was in and got me really doing my own show for the first time in my whole life every 6 days a week, which requires a lot of time and dedication. You guys know that. And so it's been an interesting experience. And then I got on Coast to Coast and met you guys and just and on and on and on and on. But see, what happened is back in the 90s, and everybody will find this, I found this information fascinating. I think it was in 96. Bill Clinton deregulated the communication industry with the FCC. Before that time, everybody in the United States, if you had a radio show or a TV talk show, you had to have guests on the show all the time. Hence, I had so many shows that I was doing. Like I said, up to 40 shows a week. But then what happened is Bill Clinton changed the laws. And before that, if a company owned a radio station, they could only own one radio station in the town. If they owned a TV station, they could only own one TV station in the town. So you had a whole bunch of mom and pop radio shows all over the United States with some big markets and big stations with disc jockeys, radio personalities like Rick Dees like this used to say, that had to have guests every single day. And so we would get on something called the Radio TV Interview Report, and I would just get inundated with requests. And then what happened is when Clinton deregulated that and allowed some people like Clear Channel to come in and buy every single station in a town or almost every station, then they started running syndicated broadcasts and they didn't need as many guests. And so that whole industry kind of phases away. Now the reason that the government originally said that you could only buy or have one station in town was they didn't want one group of people controlling the media like we have today. Now 20 years later, you know, that we have like seven corporations that control 95% of the media. And a lot of that happened back in the 90s because of Bill Clinton, because they had to be able to spin the narrative the way they wanted it to. And, of course, when the Rothschilds, you know, bought the AP Wire and the Reuters News Network, when they did all of that, now with all of their corporate, with all their interlocking corporate directorships and corporations they have with their mergers and acquisitions, they can dictate through literally thousands and thousands of talk shows every single day what will be and won't be talked about in the news broadcasts. That's what was supposed to be protected by the FCC, which is no longer being protected by that. So this is completely off topic. I'm just having a conversation with you guys about the industry and what happened to it over the last 30 years.
I think this is an important conversation to have, because people don't really, I mean, people know is somewhat the history, but this is history that's in real life. I mean, this affected you. It's affecting other people. You know, you talk about, I'll just share a story with you. I know you got a lot of stuff to get into, but heck, it's Friday. And you know what? We're going to shut down the studio here for, several days, but no, we're going to keep broadcasting though. Don't go away. Don't worry, guys. Things are going to be as normal next week. So don't, you hear me, listeners? It's going to be as normal next week. All right. Anyway, I got to tell you this. When I was in high school, we had a station here because everyone was independent. There was a radio station that broadcast. At the time, it was an AM station. It was 10,000, maybe 15,000 watts. It was not 5,000. It was bigger than a 5,000 watt station. Okay. But anyway, the reason I said this is because this guy would have guests come in to his studio, talk to the guests, and about various topics, usually local, but sometimes pretty regional, sometimes, you know, statewide or even national. But the reason I used to listen to him is because at night when he didn't do, and he was like the only guy there except for his guests. And once in a while he'd have somebody, you know, that would come in and help him and be like a co-DJ or the DJ in place of him. But that was very rare. But if you listen very closely, and this is so cool, Ted, I just love this. Now, we're talking, we'll just say the 70s. I'm not going to get specific with here. You could hear him arguing with his wife over the music, okay, because it was done out of, well, I think his wife was part of this, and it was done out of a part of his home, and it had this big antenna, and he lived way out in the sticks. Anyway, and then at night, though, he used to fall asleep while spinning the records, and people say, what are records? But anyway, yeah, and you could hear it go, and then in the background, you could hear him going, okay, I mean, it was so funny, but... So, hey, you know, deregulation obviously knocked them out. No, I mean, that has, but I don't know. I thought that was just hilarious.
And you also remember when they used to play the Star Spangled Banner every night when the TV set would go off. And now we know that the CIA was putting in subliminal messaging into that. And I sent you the link on that so you could see it and you watched it, in which the CIA would play the Star Spangled Banner at the end of the night, you know, before everybody went to bed at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night. They'd put the captions underneath the sing along. And if you slow that way, way down, and you could look at it online, they would say things like, obey the government, buy, consume, you know, and they would put subliminal messaging in there that would basically tell you what they wanted you to do from a Tavistock Institute, from a German concentration camp institute, from an MK Ultra mindset institute. And see, and they were using all those communication things, and then they realized how much power they had with that stuff, Doug. That's why they had to take control of all of it. And then the same thing with TV, because the alpha brainwave said you're almost in a hypnotic trance when you're watching TV. And when you're watching TV, you basically believe everything you're telling you. Your mind can't put up a rational wall in front of you, and you start believing it. Your heart rate speeds up, your heart rate slows down, you start perspiring. If you watch some scary movie, your blood starts releasing all kinds of chemicals. You know, we talked about that in the show we did with you back in December and November. I mean, all of these things happen to you from an autonomic standpoint when you watch TV, because you're in a hypnotic trance. And that's why it's so important that you guys turn off the TV set and listen to shows like Hagman. But I also sent you a letter today, a link today, Doug. I'm going to tell you what happened last night with the debate real quick. Not going to start on health.
Wait, hang on a second. Let me just ask this. I got to ask you this question, because it involves our studio dog. We have a monitor, you know, of course, a big monitor here in the studio, and she will actually watch. If we have the debates on, it doesn't matter what we have on. She'll watch commercials, especially with dogs in it, and she'll actually lay down and look and sit for 5 minutes and watch TV. And if a dog does come on, she'll actually respond to that dog as if that dog was in the room. Now, tell me that she's smarter than the average dog, or, you know, lie to me about it.
Oh, she's much smarter than the average dog, Doug.
Okay, thank you very much. No, but I guess it works on the same way. It works the same way with animals, doesn't it?
I don't know. I haven't seen any research on that. But, by the way, you asked me to send you a picture of Ben Carson with Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago.
We have it. So
I said anytime. Now I'm going to read you the caption on that. Now, there's no. You're the only media outlet that has this. This came from a friend who took the picture last night.
You want us to put it on the screen?
Sure. You can. That's fine. Yeah. And right, so I'm not going to tell you who it came from because I'm not going to do that. But let me give you some captions. Yesterday, Donald met with Ben Carson at Mar-a-Lago to discuss if they can get along, and they did so with flying colors. Ben basically asked Donald to mellow last night and make it easier on him in the morning, so basically to calm down and not rant or start yelling at the debate. The three of us were alone with Corey. I don't know who Corey is. Donald had a great time. He said, "Ben, I must tell you, every time I've even thought about going back at my opponents last night," this is after the debate, and he said, "No, I don't think Ben will like this." When we left, Ben got into his car, and Donald, where they had been sitting, and he says, "Ben, you have no idea what a good friend Lee is to you, working hard to get us together." So the thing about it is that they've got it together now. Ben Carson's endorsed Donald Trump, and you guys now have an exclusive photo on your website that no one else has in media anywhere that was done at the meeting last night. And this is one right after this is when Donald said on the show last night on the debate of why that Ben Carson was going to endorse him. But I thought that Donald was a little bit flat last night. He really didn't come back at anybody. But it was a lot better, more civilized debate. And so I thought everybody was trying harder to get along. And, you know, and Bubble Boy Rubio, I think he's lost the state of Florida. And then, you know, of course, Cruz is smart. I got to give the guy credit for having a high IQ. I mean, you know, he's got some IQ points on him. The problem is he can't tell the truth. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's a cheat. I mean, he lied about Carson getting out of the race. He cheated Donald Trump and cheated Ben, and he stole votes in Iowa. And so, I mean, so Cruz, to me, has no respect at all. But it's just what he is. And I know that most evangelicals want to support him, but you got to look at the character. And see, they're trying to find cracks in Donald's armor, but they're having a hard time doing it. But let's go ahead and start on the hell stuff if we can, because I'll sit here and ramble with you all night.
I love it. And folks, I just want to share this. During our off-air conversations, what you just heard there is really a typical off-air conversation that I might have with our good friend. I want to say Donald Trump, but our good friend Ted Brewer.
I'm still working on him getting on your show. I'm still working on that, and I think I got that worked out. I think we're going to make it happen.
Hey, all we want is 15 minutes of his time, and hey, that's all we need. So cool.
Yeah.
Or as long as he'd like, because we'd love it, and I believe it.
I'm excited he's going to be on. Yeah. But, you know, it's so interesting. I wanted to start some stuff with you real quick. You know, Hollywood and the propaganda that comes out of Hollywood, I want to quote a couple of things to you real quick, because they're coming out with these Boston bombing hoax movies now, what's happened with Hollywood and the propaganda generated. I want to say one thing. Remember what the former CIA director William Casey said? Until everything that everyone believes is a lie, the control system feels that they're not done lying to you yet. I mean, this whole false flag stuff and the staged events that we're being sold that are reality are unbelievable to me, Doug. And it's sad to me that so much of this stuff that we're being told is a lie. Now, the next story I want to tell you is that Putin and Western government says that Western governments are enslaving humanity through immunizations and through vaccines. And he's saying that Putin is now talking about these doctors who are dying in the United States and what's going on. According to the report, Western governments are working hand in hand with corporations using money-hungry scientists and educational bodies as tools to pull the wool over the eyes of the largely complacent, unsuspecting public. But the public aren't just being conned. They are slowly but surely being enslaved. This is the master plan. And so Putin's going to be actually releasing a statement on this, they say. Now, whether or not we ever get a copy of it, I don't know. I personally believe that one video that we did with you guys from last summer that's got millions and millions of views was put into Putin's hand, and somebody translated it for him, and that's where this is coming from. But that's just my opinion. It could have been from many other people that are also doing shows on the very same topic. Another interesting story. GlaxoSmithKline is facing fines now for killing 14 babies during vaccine trials. This is crazy. The GlaxoSmithKline killed 14 babies during vaccine trials, and they were fined $100,000, Doug, for killing 14 babies. Doesn't that blow your mind?
Why this should be plastered over every news outlet, over every newspaper in the entire globe.
It was out of this country. It was down in Argentina. And so they don't really care about Argentina. They like to take people in Argentina. That was back in the 60s, if you remember, with the current Pope, and throw them out of the back of airplanes 100 miles offshore in the ocean.
That's right. That's right.
Remember Operation Condor, they did all that. Our current Pope, that's what he liked to do. Now let's talk about some of the lies you're being told about medicine and mainstream medicine and health. I'm going to just kind of go over these real quickly because I've got like 100 stories to cover with the next 2.5 hours with you guys. Number one. Genetically modified organisms. A lot of this came from a guy by the name of Marco Torres, but I'm going to modify it. But I want to give him credit for this because he kind of summed up the totals on this. He said that genetically modified organisms can feed the world. That's a complete and total lie. Genetically modified organisms have not shown to recruit any more than regular organisms, the regular seeds. They can't do it. Plus, the GMOs are killing people because of what they're doing to our guts and what they're doing with epigenetics. And so they're causing massive problems with DNA. They're causing massive problems with all the glyphosate they're spraying on the GMOs. Number two, electromagnetic fields and wireless radiation are not harmful to humans. That's simply not true. You have to make sure that every single night you turn off your Wi-Fi routers in your house. And I go a step further. I unplug the ones in the kitchen and I just turn them off. I don't want any of this stuff going through my body because it's like, you know, just like a constant dose of radiation. And the problem with it is that your pineal gland, which secretes the melatonin that allows you to sleep at night, it sees this stuff coming through your skull and it thinks it's light. So it never puts enough melatonin in your blood to get you a good night's sleep. So you're always tossing and turning every night. Another lie is medical screenings and treatments prevent death. That's not true. Now, they may actually show some cancers in advance, and they may actually be okay in some instances, even for colorectal cancer. But we've seen now with the mammograms, they basically haven't done anything to reduce the amounts of cancer. And in fact, the mistreatments and the misdiagnosis of these things are causing a lot more health problems. Number four, we've talked about repeatedly on the show about fluoride and how it prevents tooth decay. That's simply not true. Fluoride does not prevent tooth decay. The studies that were done were completely bogus, and they were being used by the government, again, I believe through the CIA, to get the entire population of the country on fluoride, which causes you to become servile and infertile. They learned that in the concentration camps in Germany. So don't use fluoride. Use the fluoride-free toothpaste. We have those available at healthmasters.com. Really good ones, matter of fact. Next, number five, is lowering bad cholesterol is the key to preventing heart disease. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. That's simply not true unless your cholesterol is ridiculously high, like over 300. Because remember, once your cholesterol drops under 200, all disease rates go through the roof, and lower it goes, higher cancer gets. Plus, under 200, it's very difficult for your body to produce testosterone. So you stop acting like a man. By the time you eat a bunch of soy products and get your cholesterol down real low, your brain goes to mush, and you can't think anymore. Number six, sunlight is harmful. Not true. Sunscreen is good. It is not. But now getting sun in the heat of the day, like, you know, 12 to 2 in the afternoon, you probably need to avoid that because you can have some skin damage from that. But late in the afternoon, early in the morning, sun is extremely good for you. Seven, a lot of vaccines prevent disease and increase immunity. Not true. The vaccines cause more disease now than they stop, except for some third world countries which have really bad hygiene and sewer in the sewage in the streets, et cetera, et cetera. They may be okay in those different countries, Doug. The problem is all of the adjuvants they put in the vaccines can still cause a lot of different problems even in those countries. And so unless you can get a clean vaccine out, avoid it altogether. Just make sure you don't live in a third world country that has horrible, horrible living and sanitation conditions. And
it goes on to say... Wait a second. One thing, okay, do you lump tetanus? Somebody asked this last time you were on. Do you lump tetanus in the same category as vaccines? And if so...
If you took a tetanus shot and it didn't have any aluminum, it didn't have any thimerosal, it didn't have any squalene in it, and it was just straight a tetanus that had been just dead tetanus, I don't really see a problem with that one personally, but you got to find one that's clean before you do that, because I don't have a problem with that if you get clean vaccine, but don't take it with aluminum in it, and don't take it with anything else added to it. Now they're trying to combine it with different types of vaccines all at once, and it's difficult to get just tetanus by itself. Right. So I don't have a problem with that because it prevents lockjaw. And it's just the next thing. And then the final thing he talks about, he has a few more of them. I'm just going to bypass them. He says that the science is reputable and honest. The truth about that is the studies that are done in most of the major universities, the drug companies who come in and tell the scientists what they want to find in the studies, in many cases these studies are bogus because the parameters and the studies are set up in such a way so that the trial will not work on all natural things. It simply doesn't work because they don't let people do what they're supposed to do. So that's the biggest thing that people have to understand, is you have to use common sense. For instance, let me give you another example. I don't know what happens to so many medical doctors after they get out of medical school. Now, I remember when I was in biochemical genetics at Florida State University, I spent 400 hours there in the lab in the Conradi building, but it's been torn down since then. It's been 40 years ago. And what was interesting is I remember a lot of the guys in that class with me were going to be going to medical school. And what was interesting to me is a lot of them had very good memorizing abilities. They could memorize anything. They could memorize a periodic table of elements within a few hours. It was crazy. And so they scored really high on their MedCat exams. But when you would start talking to them about common sense things, they had no common sense. My sister was like this. She graduated valedictorian, was the National Merit Scholarship recipient, 4.0 all the way through college in the biology program, got into medical school, can't think. Sick all the time on multiple prescription drugs. Bless her heart. I feel terrible for her. But, she has no discernment or reasoning skills. In German, the word would be vernünftig, and the other one would be, it's vernünftig, and I forgot the other word. It'll come to me in a second. But what it means is you have to have reasoning. Verstand is the other one. That's common sense. She doesn't have any Verstand, and she's not vernünftig. She has no reasoning skills, and she doesn't see things. So when you start to talk to her about these types of tests, and she worked for the National Cancer Institute for 20 years in the military as a captain, basically in their laboratory up in Bethesda, and been trying to find a, quote, cure for cancer. Well, we already know there's cures for cancer. We've already seen that. I know a lot of naturopathic physicians and also allopathic physicians who cure cancer without radiation, chemotherapy, or surgery. The problem is there's no money in that. You can cure somebody's cancer for $8,000 or $10,000 worth of supplements plus a lifestyle change. And the problem is they don't want you to do that because they make too much money with the chemotherapy. Some chemotherapies are thousands and thousands of dollars for one dose, Doug. And so they make hundreds of thousands, sometimes $1 million in treating a person for cancer versus, $10,000 worth of supplements. So that's the biggest problem that they have in the supplement industry. Plus, as a physician, as a naturopath or, as a medical doctor or whatever, it's very difficult to treat patients that way for cancer from a natural standpoint because you risk losing your license because you could have somebody to turn a complaint into you to the state. You could lose your license and they could say basically you're being a quack, and then they could end up, suing you and everything else. So a lot of doctors simply don't do that. But a lot of the doctors also, they basically are being trained by the pharmaceutical corporations after they get out of medical school, and that's all they read because they're so busy seeing patients or so busy on the golf course or so many are doing surgeries to try to pay their four ex-wives, alimony. They don't know what to do. And always remember this, and I said that tongue-in-cheek, but it's true. A doctor who's a surgeon is only going to get paid if he cuts. He's got to cut you. He's got to do surgery on you. That's the only way he's going to make his fee. And so that's why it's very, very important that if you have to go in for surgery, that you get three or four opinions from different doctors. Because one of them may tell you, well, no, that's really not something you need to do right now. You can wait a while longer. Another one will say, no, you need to do that. That's one of the biggest problems with bypass surgery. A lot of the cardiovascular surgeons, again, this is where they get their fees paid. And they go in, they run this huge bill up, which they get a small percentage of from the hospital. But they don't bother to tell you there's natural ways. They know there's natural ways that have been approved to clean out the arteries. One of them is with EDTA, which is chelation therapy. It does a great job. And see, I cover all of this stuff. If you go to healthmasters.com, my website, I have a newsletter that we put out, two or three or four times a week. We get a free copy of the newsletter if you want to sign up for it. And so we tell you all of this information, this common sense stuff to health and nutrition. In fact, if you look on the front page, we've got the Hagman blood sugar protocol, the Hodges healthy joint protocol, and then we've got the magnesium protocol all on the front, because I know, Doug, you had some high blood sugar issues we can talk about a little bit, and you were able to control that through diet and following that protocol that we put together for you. Now, here's another interesting one, Doug. New Mexico law is now prohibiting forced psychiatric drugging of children. Now you say, well, they don't really do that, do they? Oh yeah, they really do that. They really put these drugs, these kids on some super strong drugs if they're being diagnosed with certain types of mental issues. And I'm talking kids that are 3 and 4 years old. But New Mexico finally had enough of it now, and they're prohibiting forced psychiatric drugging of children, the first such law in the United States. This is the only good portion of what the Church of Scientology does, Doug. Because I totally am opposed to their teachings. They're a cult. They're awful. But they have a Citizens Commission on Human Rights because they're so against the psychiatric drugs. And they're the ones that pushed all of this through the New Mexico House Bill 53, which became law in 2015, ensuring that a parent's decision not to administer psychotropic drugs to a child is not grounds for a child being removed from parental custody by Child Protective Services. In other words, what was happening is they were saying, you have to put this child's 3 years old, you got to put them on Zoloft or Xanax or Prozac. And the parent's going, no, I'm not going to do that. Then they would say, well, you're denying medical care for your child. We're going to take your child away, and then we're going to drug the child. They would be forced to be drugged. And so New Mexico now has said they're not going to allow that anymore. What do you guys think about that?
Huh. Well,
did you even know that happened? I mean, it's crazy.
No. And the forced drugging of anybody is just ridiculous, abhorrent, and incredibly dangerous, I would say. When is it appropriate scientifically to determine that somebody has a disorder, first of all, and then force a result that might not be needed, or force a treatment that might not be even needed? You're not taking the cases individually, one by one, looking at all the factors involved.
Well, and there's not too much real estate between that and re-education of thought.
Right.
I mean, re-education in thought. Okay, you're thinking wrong, so we're going to send you, we're going to re-educate you.
That's right. And the thing about it is, when I was in practice, I would have people come in. Most I saw was 25 meds. They would be on 25 different prescription medications. These were people probably in their 50s and 60s. I was back in my, gosh, I was in my 20s back then, 30s. And what would happen is I couldn't believe these meds. And so I would say to them, I said, look, you're going to have to work with your medical doctor, or you have to change medical doctors, and you're going to try to figure out how to come off of this stuff. Cause I wasn't licensed to tell people to start taking, to come off of drugs. And then they would bring their children in there. They've been diagnosed with ADD and ADHD. And I was at the forefront cusp of this back in the 80s, talking to people about it. This is when Ritalin started making these huge inroads into the school systems. And then I started finding out that these drugs were being given to kids that were 2 and 3 years old, these psychotropic drugs like Ritalin and Adderall and all this, and Xanax. And they were given, 2 and 3 year old children are being diagnosed with hyperactivity. Are you kidding me? They're still in the crib and they're being diagnosed as hyper, and they're being given these drugs, these stimulants, these brain altering chemicals. And so I'm really glad to see New Mexico did this, because I've seen a lot of that in my own practice. In fact, that was one of the big hot buttons that I had when I was on the seminar circuit back in the 90s, is when I talk about ADD and ADHD, because we have a program called Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy. It's on the bodybyted.com website. It's still available. We only have about a dozen of them left. Bodybyted.com website, because they're on CD. Everybody likes the MP3 now. And it had a whole it has reports in there on how to lower blood pressure, cholesterol, triglycerides, blood sugar levels, and a whole report in there on ADD and ADHD and natural treatment protocols for all of these different types of conditions, as far as looking from a healthy lifestyle standpoint. And one of the biggest things that we always had the huge response with back in the 90s and in the 80s, is we'd talk about the forced drugging of the children in the school systems with the use of Adderall or Ritalin. And what was crazy is that we found that in some classrooms there were more children taking the drug Ritalin than there were kids not taking Ritalin. And the problem with Ritalin and the Adderall, these are Schedule II drugs in the same category with morphine, opium, Percodan, and Demerol. I mean, and the sad part about this is, Doug, I'm not saying that in every single case this child doesn't need a drug. Okay, sometimes these kids are just destructive, and they're breaking stuff and trying to burn the school down and everything else, and they got to calm them down. But the problem is, it shouldn't be the first treatment protocol. And I'd always tell the parents, I'd say, look, this Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy program has a complete protocol to follow with these kids with ADD that allows you to basically could try to control all of this through dietary change first, and it gives you a complete list of supplements that we found worked really well. We had, an 88% success rate in working with ADD and ADHD kids. But now it's not even the ADD as much anymore as it is the autism. The autism has gone off the charts. And that's, of course, that was planned. They've done that on purpose. They knew the immunization schedule would do this, and they knew the increase of NAGLACE would do this. And we talked about that last summer on that show that has millions of views now. And the craziest thing about this is they knew all of this was going to happen. It's all part of the eugenics protocol And if it sounds like the Nazis, well, it is. That's basically where all the stuff came from. But the Nazis, remember, we talked about this one time on a show with you, the Nazis learned all the stuff from us from the 1800s. And so it was kind of crazy. Now, here's the next story that I have a hard time talking about. I'm only going to briefly mention it because I really don't want to talk about this very much. It is so awful for me to talk about this. This is for the National Health Institute, or the NHS, to support women carrying. This is in England. It's to support women to carry babies to full term, even though they want to abort the baby, because they want to use the baby's organs for transplants. And so they're going to do a partial birth abortion, induce a coma in this child, make it brain dead, and then take it into the other room and take the organs out of it and sell them. I know, I don't even know what to say. The National Health Service, I know. The publicly funded healthcare system in the UK is proposing that women be supported to carry the child to term for the sole purpose of harvesting the baby's organs. There is currently a shortage of donated organs, according to the Express. The mother could choose not to have the child's organs removed by choosing abortion instead if tests during pregnancy determine the baby may have a birth defect. In some cases, if the mother has agreed to donation, a brain-dead baby could be kept alive so the organs are fresh when doctors remove them. The idea was unveiled at a medical conference at the British Transplantation Society in Glasgow, Scotland, according to the Daily Mirror. An NHS representative talked to Mail Online and promised women would not be pressured to do this. There's a market for baby body parts. Last year in the U.S., it was revealed through a series of undercover videos that Planned Parenthood sold the organs from aborted children. I have such a problem. To me, this is so horrible to talk about. Unless you have another comment about this, Doug, I'm going to move on.
You know, I've got a lot of comments about it, but none I could really say over the air. Go on.
Yeah, because, I mean, Joe, do you have anything you want to say about that? I mean, I mean, it's just, to me, it's just so egregious. I don't even know what to say. They want the lady to carry the baby to term, so then they can abort it and cause it to be brain dead when they abort it. I guess they would just probably cut a spinal cord or whatever, keep it alive, and so they can keep fresh organs coming out of it. I mean,
it's just horrific.
Give me names, Ted. Give us names. Who in the hell's behind this crap?
Sure, this is the
I want people's names we should put out there with their faces and their home addresses. This is what we should.
They're not doing that. They're only giving the spokesperson stuff. The idea was unveiled in a medical conference at the British Transplantation Society in Glasgow, in Scotland, according to the Daily Mirror. And National Health Service representative, okay, I guess they're not telling who they're going to be. And the doctors wish to harvest the organs of about 100 babies a year from 11 in the past 2 years. I mean, this is just absolutely nightmarish.
They need to be arrested. They need to be charged with crimes against humanity, and they need to be hung. Those are my words, my sentiments, not Ted Brewer's.
No, but you got to understand something. When a medical professional's been trained that, you know, we're not human beings, we're just animals, we're goyim, okay? We're just, there's nothing to us, we're just specks of tissue that grow into this parasitic organism they call humans, and they really feel this way, and these abortion clinic doctors have to feel that way, Doug, or they couldn't do what they do. You know, and so what ends up happening is they don't think anything about aborting a 3-month-old, a 6-month-old, or a term baby through partial birth abortion. And, of course, this is what they do. And, I mean, I'm not going to talk about how they do partial birth abortion, but they're not even talking about doing the abortions. They're talking about this basically causing it to be brain dead when it comes out, being kept alive so they can have fresh organs. Let's change topic. This is another study. Long-term uses of Xanax, Valium, and other psychoactives can actually lead to cancer. This is crazy. I'm sure you guys have already talked about this one. These are benzodiazepines. This is Xanax and Klonopin and Valium, and apparently it massively increases the risks of cancer. 21% specifically for brain cancer. No, it's for brain cancer, 98%. Covorel cancer rate up 21%. Colorectal up 25%. Lung up 10%. Esophageal cancer 59%. I mean, unbelievable.
While we're on this topic, and I don't want to take you off the main topic of these class of drugs causing cancer, I also saw a few articles where it talked about white bread and bagels increasing the risk of lung cancer by 49%.
Yeah, we're going to cover that one. We're going to cover that one in a few minutes. Yeah, but you know, see, the problem with all of this stuff, what happens, and I'll stop off that topic real quick and pull over to yours. The problem with the white bread is the glyphosate. The glyphosate has been shown to cause cancer, like a dozen different types of cancers throughout the body. And the glyphosate destroys the intestinal tract, and when it does that, it prevents the absorption of certain nutrients through the intestinal tract. And when that happens, you start to have a deterioration of the body because you're no longer picking up the antioxidants, the A, D, E, and K, and selenium. And so you don't have sufficient quantities of these nutrients going in, including magnesium, which is very difficult to digest anyhow from your diet because it's so heavy. We'll talk about magnesium in just a few moments. But this is what happens. So you have all of these deficiencies develop. So you have these deficiencies develop in your diet because your intestinal tract has been compromised. And plus you're being poisoned by the glyphosate. So your body ends up coming down with all of these cancers. Remember, a couple months ago when I was on your show, I read the entire study that had been released through the Freedom of Information Act, giving you like 15 different types of cancers that are being caused by glyphosate that was shown in their own research back in the 70s. And then they sealed that research, and they had, through the Freedom of Information Act, they had to release it. You see, this is the kind of stuff that they're doing to us from a health standpoint throughout the entire planet. This is what they're doing to us. They're poisoning the planet they're trying to kill us because, you know, the Goyim have basically, we're having too many children. I mean, it's ridiculous what they're doing. And remember, all they see us as a source of profit for themselves because they consider us to be subhumans. They consider their DNA to be different than ours, a lot of these guys do. And so it's just crazy how they do it and what they do to us on an ongoing basis through the poisoning with the glyphosate. We'll talk about it more in a minute. Here's another interesting article. Water drinking leads to healthier food choices. I mean, we've been talking about that for years. But remember, water is super important that you ingest at least half your body weight in fluid ounces. So if you weigh 200 pounds, drink 100 ounces of water a day. But make sure it doesn't have any fluorine or chlorine in it. That's super important. And make sure that you don't allow this poison from the fluorine and chlorine to get into your body because it affects your thyroid gland. So water can be very, very, very toxic if you're not careful with it, especially city municipally treated water. They can actually, I know a few years ago I read a study that said there were like 50 known carcinogens in the Miami water supply down in here in Florida. So always make sure you use a distillation system. You know, we have those available at healthmasters.com. And make sure, if you don't get the distiller from us, which thank you if you do, make sure that you get one that has a stainless steel condensing coil in it with volatile gas vents. And all of our distillers have a 100-day money-back guarantee. If you buy this distillation system from us and you don't like it, send it back. You have 3 months to try it. And I guarantee you, use that distiller for 3 months. And Doug, you've got one. You'll never send it back.
Absolutely.
Because they're phenomenal.
I just want to say this to people out there who think, well, any distiller. No. Go to healthmasters.com. Only because... this is probably our third, maybe, distiller. We had well water, which was treated. Even though it was treated, it was still well water. And this is a while back now. I went through two distillers pretty quickly. This one, however, is really, I mean, far and above the best I've ever seen. And to think that mineral, the hardness goes through your, veins and arteries. My goodness. So.
Well, no, I've got a video posted on our website, and you can go to it. It's like a 20-second video. It takes you 20 seconds to watch it. And I actually open up my distiller, and I'm looking at it inside of the boil tank, and I hadn't cleaned it for about 4 months. And I pick up all this calcium carbonate, and I show you how brittle it is. I crack it right on the doggone screen so you can hear it. And that's the stuff that builds up inside of your arteries. That's why they call it hardening of the arteries. And that's why you should never drink mineralized water. I have a friend of mine who's a top show host, a talk show host right now in America, and he's got really bad heel spurs. And he was drinking heavy, heavy mineralized water all the time. And now he's got these horrible heel spurs. And the sad part about it is it doesn't have to be that way. That excessive calcium carbonate that builds up in your top body and in your soft tissues and in your heels and in your shoulders, it's awful for you. And it's very difficult to get back out. And the only way you can do that is you've got to follow the magnesium protocol that we have on the website, which has the magnesium deodorants, the magnesium sports oils, the magnesium salts. And what you do, you have to soak your feet like every day for like an hour, and then what it does, it slowly absorbs the magnesium transdermally into your feet and helps to dissolve those bone spurs. And I'll talk to him next week. I'll let you guys know next month on the air with you guys how his feet are doing. 10 evidence, okay. evidence-based magnet. I know we're about to go to break, aren't we, in a second?
Yeah, we are. Let me ask this. Arthritic hands, as my wife has, and we've talked about this before, still soak your feet, not your hands, right? I mean,
when you soak your hands, it won't hurt your bed. Sharon soaks her hands all the time. You could also use this bath salts in the bathtub, and you could actually soak in that. And then what you could do is you could get one of those redneck bathtub heaters. They're called a pot heater. That's what they're called. They call it the redneck hot tub, and you can put it in the bathtub, and you can reheat the water 3 or 4 times so you don't have to pour the bath salts out, so you can use them over and over again.
I got to tell you, I tried that with a toaster when my wife was taking a bath, and she complained like you couldn't believe. I plugged the toaster in, I was going to heat up her water for her, and boy, you know, did she ever. It was an ugly incident, Ted. I'm sorry, man.
Folks, we'll be right back on this Friday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report with Dr. Ted Breuer. He'll be with us for the rest of the show. Stay with us. His website, healthmasters.com, his book, Breakthrough Health, and the show right here on Global Star Radio Network each weekday, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, as well as Sundays, 7 to 8 p.m. Stay with us with Ted Breuer.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.